This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3933, for Wednesday, the 30th of August, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Planning for a Planner. It is hosted by some guy on the internet, and is about 48 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Scotty and Bumblebee discuss Diskbound planners, agendas, ink pens, and more.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, and I'm here with...
Hey, Bumblebee's here.
And today, we're going to be talking about planning and organization. So, B, I remember once before we were talking about planners and notebooks and things of that nature, and there was a specific type that you mentioned that you enjoy using very much. You want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, I prefer disk binding planners. There's several brands out there. The most, I guess, popular common brand is the Happy Planner specifically. The reason why it's so popular is because of the disk binding. The disk binding just makes everything so much easier to remove pages, to add pages. If you ever had a planner before and it has just like a book binding, not a spirals are terrible. Spirals get jumbled up. They rip pages out, all of those things. Regular spiral books. The ones with like a harder...
Them's fighting bound, words.
My opinion, I don't like. But the ones that have the really hard bound on the back, try to write all the way to the like center. It makes it very difficult to write in the center. When you have the disk binding, you can literally tear out the page, write whatever you need, and then put the page back like nothing happened. Similar to a binder without having the clunkiness of one.
Okay, so I do understand the flexibility and functionality of this. Was this called the disk binder type?
Disk binding, yeah. Disk planners, disk bound.
Disk bound planner. Okay, so that I do understand that. Now, do they make these things in hard and soft covers? Like, do you get the options like that, or you have to build your own?
Yeah. So they do have a laminated cover. They also have cases that you can get them. Personally, throughout the year when I'm doing schooling, I have the laminated cover, but then I have that whole entire case inside of my. That whole entire planner inside one of my cases, because I constantly throw my planner in a book, in a bag, in a whatever. I throw it in, just I don't want it to ruin it. But for the most part, they're really sturdy. Like, they're not gonna fall apart on you as long as you don't overpower them. So with disk binding, they have all different size disks. The rings, the disks that come with them, they're all different sizes depending on what brands. But for the example purpose, we'll talk about Happy Planner specifically. So they have the mini version, which are for the mini planners. They're much smaller. Then they have the classic size, which is roughly a medium size planner. That is the average that people use. The most common one is the classic size. Then they have the large, which is for the bigger planners. And then, of course, they have the expansion size, which is a very big one. I think the expansion size is like almost an inch and a half or something. They're huge. I use those for my excessive papers.
Don't leave the house with it.
Yeah, I don't. So I use the expansion size for like all of my excessive paper. So I have lots of notebook paper that I buy, whether it's on clearance, whether it's regular notebook paper that I get from loose leaf notebook paper. I put it all in there and I use those really big rings. And when I need extra paper for my planners, I pull it out of there. So that's what I use personally for those. And then I use it for like stickers and stuff, because Happy Planner makes it so you can have like and make it cute and pretty. Happy Planner is primarily based on, it's very feminine, it's very girly, it's very whatever. I do know they are coming out, I believe, for 2024's planner. I believe they're coming out with more masculine size styles. But I do know there are other stores that specifically have the disc bound, but they're more masculine, if people care about that.
All right. So if you wanted to get into this style of planner, a disc bound planner, it would probably, and you're a male, it will probably be good to use a different brand other than Happy Planner at the moment. Is that what we're learning?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know Staples specifically is a really good place to go to get those. So Staples have one where the covers of the Disbounds are made out of just leather. They're like black leather and that's it. They might be a little bit more on the pricier side from what I looked at, but Staples has coupons all the time. So just FYI, but Staples is a good one. And so is Michael's, I believe. But all the other stores like Hobby Lobby, Walmart, I know even Ross, believe it or not, sells them. Happy Planner specifically. But you can get what us Happy Planners call them is the guts. Basically the inside of the planners. You can get the guts of any planner and get a very plain Jane one and just go buy a cover somewhere else. They actually sell on Etsy specifically just plain Jane covers. You don't have to have a style or anything. Like my cover is just pink. There's nothing on it. It's just pink.
Yeah. I like a plain Jane, you know, I'd rather have just a solid color, probably not even a name or anything on it. Just, I know what it is and that's all that matters. But for the,
exactly,
for the guts that go in this thing, what sort of options do we have there?
Oh my God. It's, we don't even have all day to talk about. I mean, so let's just talk about what I use my planner for, and that will give a lot of people examples. I use mine for journaling. So they have, for Happy Planner specifically, they have these things called weeklies. Most planners do have them. They're for the weeks. They even have dailies. Like on one whole entire page will be for one whole entire day. Like today is Tuesday, so it'll be literally all day for Tuesday. I think it's excessive to have one whole page for one day, but they do weeklies as well. So you can do journaling. It's lined and everything like that. They have ones for normal planning where they're either box formation. They have them vertically all the way down. They have boxes that are horizontally. I use mine for school as well. They also have like half sheets that you can shove in the weeks or throughout the months to make lists throughout the day or throughout the week or whatever. I have regular notes that I use, and I also use them for my budget. So we talked about my Cricut before. I use my Cricut to design pages for myself as well. So you can go on any sites. I know your opinion about Pinterest.
One second. Cause I mean, this, we're just kind of blazing through a lot of stuff here. You design your own pages to go in this thing?
Yes, I do quite often.
I could actually just work with just basic notebook paper, like just lines, horizontal lines going across, and I'll fill in the rest. You know, that's, I like it simple, and then I'll draw out whatever I need for whatever, you know, whatever I want. How is it that you use this? Like, what are you creating?
Okay, so when I make mine, I use it to make a specific budget for myself, because I like the Happy Planner budgets, but they're not specific enough for me. I don't have children. So most of those are like daycare and all this stuff that's irrelevant for me because I don't have children. So in some stuff is like, I need stuff. I'm a homeowner. So I need to have quarterly. I also think of my taxes. So I want to be overly specific with my budget. But I also want several things blank so I can fill it throughout. So I'm paying attention to my said budget. Also, I do it for school. So every single semester, I'll make several pages that talk about my schooling. So I'll have, let's just say I do biology, okay? Biology 101 or whatever. I'll put biology 101 in one block, and then I'll write the room number, the information about the teacher, whether it's her email, her phone number, the classroom she's in, if it's online, then the link to go to her website, et cetera, et cetera. You kind of get my drift. And then there's been times where I've actually laminated these. And when you laminate them, then you can write on them with Expo marker and then erase it when you're done.
What's an Expo marker?
Expo, the brand, dry erase marker.
Oh, a dry erase marker. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Expo is the brand.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So personally, yeah, so you can make your own. The only problem with making your own, Happy Planner and all these other brands, they're paper pound. So you know how paper, each paper has a pound to it, right? So how thick the paper is. well, the Happy Planner papers are a little bit thicker than regular like copy paper, but it's thinner than like cardstock. So it's in the middle. And frankly, those pages are not cheap. So depending on what I'm making, depending on what pages I'm doing, either I'll just do cardstock or I'll just stick to regular paper and not care. But what I've been doing a lot lately is I'll buy the notebooks that Happy Planner has. So Happy Planner has just plain notebooks. They're still discounted and everything. Well, then I just print on those. I'll literally just throw them in my printer and print on that paper. And so it ends up being cheaper. You can get like a whole notebook for like $6 and it'd be like 50 sheets or something.
When you're printing on these things, are you using special software to be able to fit to the dimension of the page? Like, how are you selecting these dimensions to print? Because I'm assuming this isn't 8.5 by 11.
No. So no. So for, let's say, the size of Classic, the Classic is 7 by 9 inches. So I literally just use regular, you know, Windows. I mean, I don't do anything fancy. Sometimes I use my Cricut for certain things, but 90% of the time I just use Microsoft Word. I make a regular PDF, whatever documentation I'm making, fill in everything that I want. And when I go to the printing portion, I say document size as 8.5 by 11 and then paper size. And I just change the size of paper. I already pre-changed them. So I just click Classic Happy Planner because I've already changed that in my computer because those are already sized. And then it just prints it out normally.
Oh, so you got the presets in there for your...
Yeah, I already have the presets. I already have them for my mini as well.
Now, see, that is amazing. I didn't even know you could do that. Like, I didn't know they sold like a bare bones paper that you could just basically chuck in your printer. And then, you know, here you go. Now you got more specific pages to your lifestyle.
Well, technically, Happy Planner sold them as their doodle series. So a lot of people were doodling in their books. So they sold paper that was for doodling. So there's a lot of people that doodle as notes. I'm one of those people. So
wait, so you're hacking the pages then?
Pretty much. I buy it and use it for whatever I want. Also, I do the ones that are the most simple. So like right now I have one of the books in front of me and I have it divided to what the pages are. So for an example, I have one whole divider as lined paper, like just all lined paper. And then the next section I have that they're bulletins. They sell bulletins. And then I have grid. And I also have the plain one that I told you, the blank page. And then I also have dotted paper, which is a whole bunch of dots on it. The dotted paper, if you can't find the doodle paper, because they kind of stopped the series. It apparently didn't sell as well as they hoped. So the dotted paper is okay too, because when you print on it, and it's black, it's really hard to see the dots anyway. It doesn't make a big difference. It really doesn't.
Yeah, they make the dots very, very dim.
Yeah, they're very light. Like the one that I have is like this very light, light, light green. And it's like light sage or something, and you barely see them. So I like using these specific pages, even though I prefer a small planner for when I'm on the go, because it's the mini planner. It's just because it's so easy to dump it in my purse or dump it in my school bag. It's much easier for my notes planner. Okay. For the ones that I use for notes for school, I prefer a classic one just because I want to see some bigger. So those pages are perfect. I sometimes will cut the classic ones to fit in my mini, which goes to the other point that I was having. Another good investment, in my opinion, for any disc bound planner is getting the hole puncher. You can buy the Happy Planner brand, or they even have other ones, those really big black ones that you can get. But that was one of the best investments that I bought when I got this. They're pretty cheap. Like they're no more than $10. And you can even buy them on like Amazon and all those things. And that changed how I did my planner. I like to call my planners my Frankenstein planners, because I don't have to keep it for what they designed for you. They don't know you personally. They make it for a general amount of people. For my planners, I'm going to try to explain this as clear as I can.
Let me do it, because I think I can explain it a little bit here. All right. Mm-hmm. So they make planners for ordinary, boring people. But because you're super amazing, you know what I mean? You need to be able to upgrade their nonsense to you know, stellar levels. Is that what I'm understanding?
Absolutely. You know how fabulous I am. So for mine specifically, I have, like I said earlier, I do weeklies. So when you open for like the week of the first, okay, today's Tuesday. So when you open it up on one page, it'll say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And on the right page, we'll say Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday will be next to each other. That's what I do weeklies. But if you turn the page over, I'll have the exact same of this week again, but it'll be horizontally and they'll be lined because I use my planner for several different reasons. So I add several different things. So even though it's repetitive, the ones that are blocks, I'll use for like, I don't really have them for summer because I don't do school in the summer, but I'll have the blocks for school because I'll put several different classes of school assignments, etc. And then the next week or the same week, but the next page will have lines because I prefer to journal. It keeps me on track what I've done because I can go back several weeks or several months and be like, oh, that's what I did. That's the date that I did it on. Or it's good therapy for me. Writing down gets things out of my brain. So that is not normal for most planners. Most people will have two planners, or they'll have like a diary or a journal, and then they'll have a planner. I like to have everything all in one, you know?
Yeah, I'm loving the idea of having it all in one because I got a planner and my notebook. You've seen my notebook that I have to carry around for sketching and all that. And so I'm thinking about this disc bound style where you could kind of, because one of the other things that I'm thinking about is basically having like an eternal planner. Once you get a case that you really like for it, like the covers or whatever, as months go by and you no longer need, like, say, you know, we're in July now, I no longer need January through April. So I can take those months out and then, you know, replace them with future months that are
absolutely,
you know what I mean? So your plan will just, it just rolls in the infinite planner. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I do personally, speaking, piggybacking off of you, most of the happy planners will have like a bird's eye view of the year. So it'll have like itty bitty months that'll be like January all the way through December, depending on which ones you buy. They have them from 12 months to 18. You can buy the 18 months and just take all the months out if you want. I usually only buy the 12 months. Because I get bored and want a different planner. But anyway, I will use 4 months at a time. So I'll keep the bird's eye view because I like to look and be like, oh, when is Thanksgiving this year? What date is it? So then I can plan ahead or whatever day I'm thinking of. Yes. I can look at the bird's eye view while I'm still planning. I don't have to literally go back and go and get et cetera, et cetera. And the good thing about the disc planners is, let's say you have another planner that you had last year. It's expired now, correct? Well, you don't have to throw it away because you can use the dividers. You can use the discs again. You can use, if you love that cover, you can use the cover again. So much of it is reusable. I actually use the pages in there and I cut them up and stuff. I will cut them up. I'll use them as practice pages. I do it all the time. I literally have two disc bound pack that I use. And if I like how it was set up, then I'll just copy from there. But I keep 4 months at a time because I put so much in my planner. So my planner is a mini planner, but I have the classic size rings on them because I like a smooth turn. If I had the mini rings, it would be too stiff because there's much in them. So you have to think about that when you do that, because if you have too big of rings, most of the cases with Happy Planner will not fit. So you have to keep that in mind. So my mini planner case does not fit the classic rings. It won't fit. When you try to put it in there and close it, it won't button it. So, because I just have like a leather case, you put the back of the cover in the slide, like it's like a slip you slide into it, and that's how it stays inside the case. So during the school year,
can you repunch the holes on it?
No. It's the case is different than the cover. So there's a cover on it that's laminated, and then there's cases that they give you that is like a leather bound.
Oh, to cover it. You're right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You just cover the whole thing, and then there's a button to keep it sealed, and you can't see it. Like if you don't open the button, you can't see the planner. So I just do that to keep everything safe. But to be honest, there's been several times where I don't even use the cover, and I'm fine. No pages come out. I mean, as long as you're not like throwing it out your car while you're driving, you should be fine. I have thrown it in my book bag. I've thrown it in my purse. I've done all these things. Disc bound is really good at keeping them in there, because the difference between disc bound and a regular binder, because disc bound is similar to a binder, besides having to pop open the binder, there's only 3 hole punches in a binder. Depending on what disc you get, the mini one itself is 7 discs. 7. So there's 7 pinpoints to not lose a page. You know, there's so much that keeps it in the book.
Yeah.
So it's, in my personal opinion, it really makes it have a lot of stability to keep it all together.
One of the things I'm thinking about with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as with the design that I've already spoken about, you know, taking the previous months out and loading in new months ahead so that way I can manage it the way I want. Do you have a recommendation for how to store all of the months that I've already taken out? Because my understanding is in my regular planner that I buy from the store, there'll be certain mm-hmm. weeks where nothing important is happening. So those pages uh-huh. are basically going to waste, and I want to reduce that. So by getting this disc bound planner, I'll be able mm-hmm. to, you know, customize it more to get more out of my planner. So mm-hmm. once I've already completed X amount of months in a year and I take those out, how are you storing this? Do you just use regular file cabinet and you just say, okay, you know, this is the first half of this year, I'll just stick them in a manila folder, a manila envelope or something, and just kind of tuck them in a cabinet? Or how are you storing this?
I don't agree with the cabinet thing, because out of sight, out of mind becomes really real. Okay. If you aren't looking at it and you don't remember that it's in that said cabinet, you're not going to remember about them. So I have a bookshelf. So where my Cricut is and all of that stuff, I have on the bottom shelf all whole bunch of my planner stuff. I also have a tote with other stuff in it too. But what I do, okay, let's say I buy the planners that I buy, I'm actually buying a new one the end of this month because I do school. So our school months, they normally sell them, because you know, when school starts, they put out planners in August. So you can get a planner starting from, I think, like July all the way up to like next June or something like that.
Yeah.
So my planner right now is still okay. I still have August. So I will buy one soon, even though it'll be like a little bit of it. So what I do is as the months go, I still keep the previous month. Okay. So let's say we're in October. I'll still keep September in my book until I'm done with October. Because you might want to go back, what did you do last month first? Because last month is the closest. How I store them is I put mine back on the disc bounds. I've been doing Happy Planner since 2016. So you can only imagine how many discs I have, how many covers I have. But speaking to people that don't have that that option like I do, you can go to Happy Planner's website, Hobby Lobby, Walmart, all those places, even like Amazon, Facebook Marketplace, they're really cheap. You can buy just normal discs, just the discs themselves, just extra ones. You can store it that way. Let's say you don't want to do that. Okay. For the longest time before I had that option or thought about it, I used Ziploc bags. That's what I did. I got gallon Ziploc bags. And unless you use the mini planner, the mini pages, you can just do a quart size bag. And then I write on the page the dates. So I'll write, you know, March through September 2022 or whatever it is. And then you'll know where those are. And then you keep those specifically in one spot, but keep them somewhere where you're going to know about them, you know, unless you know for a fact, I'm not going to look at these anytime soon. Then you can store them in your whole filing system that you talked about. There has been certain years that I've gone through. This recently, in the beginning of this year, I actually, since I moved recently, I went through a whole bunch of my boxes that I had, a whole bunch of my planners that I kept. Well, you don't want to keep paper forever, okay? Unless it's important stuff, you don't want to keep forever. So I don't need to know about that random day, about that really funny joke that happened that day on that Tuesday that I ate, okay? But certain things, certain memories you want to know about, certain heartbreaks you want, whatever, just scan that stuff in after a while if you really want to, okay? But after a few years, you don't need to keep them as individual items, but you can take other things out of them, okay? I cut them up, okay? A lot of items I cut up. So some planners, they don't sell anymore, okay? Like certain styles, okay? There are certain ones that they sold that are like really, really cute on florals or this or that. I'll cut off the florals and I'll be able to use that as a decor for my next one. Some of them have where I can just scan them in and print them out again, covering them up with whatever I do with Microsoft Word, and I can print them out using those pages again. So it just depends on what your preference on keeping old papers. If you really don't care what happened that year, then if you want to chuck them in the recycling bin, go for it. But I like to know what happened. I have a lot of stuff from my mom and my grandparents that I need to know that information for years from now. So I have to keep those information. Some of it has like medical information of symptoms that I had or X, Y, and Z. So it's good to keep those notes later down the line.
That's what I'm thinking as well, because in like in my notebook especially, I have tons of crap that, for one, I cannot just throw away. That information cannot just be expelled for anyone to see. So ultimately, it will either be maintained properly or destroyed. There's no just throwaway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then other things that I did. So before I started doing notes in my happy planner. So my mini happy planner, I use a lot more than anything. And I've been saying that. So what I do, like, let's say we're talking about school. Okay. So they have a PDF or whatever of your school schedule. Okay. I'll print it out to size and shove that in my book. It's now the exact size. It doesn't have to be an 8.5 by this, but then stuff like that, the same thing of like, when you have a textbook, okay, you don't want to lug around a whole entire textbook. So they have some textbooks that you can, not all of them, where you can print some of the pages out. And I've done that for my classic size. So then it's only as small as my classic, and I can choose what chapters to put in it and take out and blah, blah, blah. Keyword, not all schools let you print out the books, so some of them you can't, but I've done that in the past. Or my own personal notes that I've typed out. I prefer handwriting notes because it helps me remember when you write. That's another benefit of having a paper book, because the studies have shown in medical history, the more you write, the more you are to remember. If, as an example, let's say you had a dentist appointment on the 15th and you got a call today and said, hey, here's a reminder for your dentist appointment. You're like, oh, let me put that in my phone. You put it in your phone, totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But if you have a planner that you're looking at on a regular basis, a paper planner that you're looking at on a regular basis, and you're writing stuff down all the time, you're more likely to remember about that 15th appointment than you are if you write in your phone.
One of the things I want to put out there is I know that everyone learns differently and everyone can actually benefit from different technology. So we're not saying that you must be able to use a paper planner in order to benefit. Absolutely. For those of you who can get away with using digital, that's your thing. Uh-huh. Nothing wrong with it at all. We're only speaking to the benefits of paper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, it's because I do save things in my calendar. I really do. You know, I have like my work schedules, because there's times where I go out and about, and let's say I went out to a party, to my Billy Bob Joe's party in my family, okay? I'm not going to have my purse with me, most likely. I'll probably have like my phone, my keys, and that's probably it when you go into a party. You might have, you know, for women, you might have a little bit of things. You know, for a man, you might have just your wallet and your phone, you know? So it's good. It is good to have some of them on your phone. But primarily, the down, dirty, and in between is in this little book. And personally for me, it's not as easy to that stuff to get deleted. You can't delete anything on a page. I mean, you can erase it if you use a pencil. It can get lost, but
my biggest thing for why I intentionally choose paper is for security. You're not hacking in to my paper book. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, absolutely. I can be careless and just leave it wide open on the table and then leave the room. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that can happen. Yes. I'm not saying that you cannot be made vulnerable due to just, mm-hmm. you know, not taking care of your own property. Your
responsibility. Yeah.
You know, but, ultimately, I know whenever I put secrets in this book and I handwrite mm-hmm. them in there, I do not have to worry about whether or not that was over a secure connection. You know what I mean? Any of that nonsense, you know, hey, was I actually on a VPN at the time that I logged into my notebook? Like, no, I just actually open it up and get the job done and be on my way. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't have to charge it, which is another benefit. When you have to charge your headphones, your watch, your phone, you know, everything else around you, it feels good to just be able to take this thing out, write in it, close it, and it's there it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another good thing I was thinking, I was talking about earlier about how you can buy certain covers and all this stuff. On Etsy, they sell, if people are okay with Etsy, but Etsy, they sell specific things. Like if you look up, disc bound planners or planners in general on Etsy, you can find a plethora of items on there to really help. I
thought you had to be a woman to go on Etsy.
Ha ha ha. I found some, they have like specific discs. So they actually started making discs. The Happy Planner has discs, but they have like a heart through them, or they actually have a Disney version where it's Mickey Mouse and all the other things. But they actually started making solid ones, which I prefer the solid ones. They actually have some, no real reason. It's not functionality. It's just preference. It just looks better, in my opinion. That's the only reason. It's like, instead of wanting a flower cover or a cover with hearts, it's basically the difference in that. Or
not going to rip your pages and nothing like that, right?
No, it doesn't even touch the pages. It's just literally a heart in the middle. It's just for decoration purposes. Okay. I prefer just the solid one just because I like having it for all seasons and stuff. And that's another thing that I'd done. You can get so many, there's so many places where you can get these things. I actually bought some products from Dollar Tree, believe it or not. And they have like, it's like obviously an off brand and you know, the pages aren't as thick and everything, but they're cute. Like they're functional, you know,
they sell the discs?
Yes. But again, remember, they're not as good quality because it is Dollar Tree, but I have bought an actual planner from there and I did like kind of a review myself. And if I was on a budget or I was trying to experiment with the disc planner to see if I would like it or not, they sell one of the planners. There's no weeklies. It's just all months. And then they have like other packets with it. So like they'll sell just the planner. And then they'll sell the notes by themselves. And then they sold packets of the weeklies and all of the et cetera, et cetera. And even Dollar Tree has sheets of stickers that have like make call, appointment at, make things easier for your book. So, you know, for people that don't have, for people that I don't have the, I guess, ugliest handwriting, but sometimes when I'm doing my planner, I write really quick. So I do cursive with print often. Oh, yeah.
I've seen your terrible chicken scratch bubbly nonsense.
My handwriting is not chicken scratch. You have room to talk. But yes, I do both. And so sometimes when I'm doing my planner, I look back and I'm like, oh, this looks hideous. And for you to be more willing to do things, having those stickers makes things look more neat. And when things are more neat, you're more willing to use the item. And I think that's why digital planning is so popular, because it looks neat. It looks organized. It looks X, Y, and Z. It's convenient. It's in your hand, et cetera, et cetera. But I like the feeling of I made this, I did this. But the one from Dollar Tree is not that bad. I know they still sell them. I actually saw them semi-recently. They also have great, that's another thing. A great pen is a really big deal. Because
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we definitely need to talk about the pens. Tell me, what's your preferred pen for planners?
So let me say, okay, so I'll talk for different stores. So at Dollar Tree, they have a set of three ballpoint.
Wait. Before you go into the different brands.
Uh-huh.
Are we talking specifically for notebook, like writing, or are we talking about for like doodling or anything like that? Or?
No, not doodling. Okay, I don't doodle. It's just for journaling and for planning specifically.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So if you are journaling, just like actual writing, you know, I guess words, and you have lined paper, ballpoint pen is the best. Okay.
Yes.
In my personal opinion, ballpoint pen is the best. Ballpoint pen is the best that has a clicker on it, either a clicker or a turn. For some reason, the ones with caps, the ink does something different. It's like the ink isn't covered. I don't know, but in my opinion, I feel like they leak too much.
Okay, now we're hitting into fighting words territory. Now you gotta be careful here.
I'm saying my opinion. If you don't like it, then, or if you prefer capped pens, then I'm all for it. Then, but the ones at Walmart, there's a pack of three, and it's Walmart's brand. It is a clear pen that writes in black. It is a fantastic, cheaper option. They're great pens, but they do have a cap. So it depends on where you go. The ones at Dollar Tree that have cap, not great, in my opinion.
All right. I'm just going to put this out here that she's totally wrong. And believe nothing she has to say from this point forward.
That's what I feel like. I have had so many pens from Dollar Tree leak everywhere from just, I don't know if it's pressure or it's not heat
I was about to say, how do you store your bolligraphos?
I have them in a pencil pouch.
Okay. All right. Well, do you keep them in proper temperatures as well? Because that is another thing during the winter time in our climate, you know, it sometimes it drops below and that can damage certain pens. The ink separates in there and all of that kind of jazz, as well as during the summertime when it's blistering hot, you just leave them in the car. That could also cause changes in it.
Well, I go from my house to the car to a building. So whether it's school, whether it's a friend's house, whether it's X, Y, and Z. So I don't leave. When I have my planner, 99% of the time, it is in my bag. When I take it, like right now, it's sitting on my desk with me.
Right.
And my bag is sitting next to me, next to my desk, that have the ones, because I have pens on my desk that I use when I'm at my desk. And then I have in my bag, I keep those pens in that bag.
Correct.
So I don't have to, you know. I'm with
you 100% there. I was just mentioning that, like, if you had a pen that you just left in the car and it just stays in the car, you know, in our climate, like, no, that's a terrible thing to do. But for me, when it comes to journaling, the best that I have been able to use and benefit from is just your standard Bic Ultra rounded static grip. Is just a simple, very, very simple, does not leak. You don't get that extra spillage or anything. You don't have to worry about dry times. It's just fantastic. And yes, it does have a cap, and I prefer having the cap. Okay. And I use multiple ink colors. I'm a Bic man. Don't get me wrong. I try to go for Bic as often as I can, because it's just been reliable. It's affordable, and I haven't had problems with Bic, but I have used other brands, you know, inexpensive brands that I just wanted to try out, especially when I'm buying colored ink, because I write in Markdown. So I use a Markdown format even in my handwritten journals. So whenever I get to
explain Markdown, what do you mean by that?
Markdown is basically a note-taking format on PC. It's a digital note-taking format for how you would space and begin lines. I'll leave some links to that as well, because I don't think I ever actually talk to you about Markdown, but it is is basically just formatting.
Okay. Yeah, I do a lot of different colors as well. Like, that's my thing as well. So, I mean, I'm a girly girl, so I have like pink and purple and yellow and blue and blah, 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 blah. Like, I have all the different colors.
Yes. Same here. I got all of them. And I
use that as well.
The reason why I have all the colors that I use them is because I don't want to just stick to one color and then that one starts to go down too much and then it'll run out. So then you know, I just, depending on what the issue is, I want to make sure that that issue is a different color that needs to be spotted immediately when I look at the page. So it doesn't really matter which color it is. In the beginning, I attempted to identify certain situations with a specific color, but ultimately, as long as the root thing is a different color, it's fine.
So I was trying to think of the brand that they have at Walmart. So I just quickly Googled it to see the brand. It's called RSVP. It's a pack of two pens and it's $1 for two. It's technically 96 cents. It is, from where we are. It's has a cap. Like I was saying earlier, the one at Walmart is good. The ones that at Dollar Tree specifically are not the ones with caps I didn't like. They're like the clear ones with like the black cap that are like, you know, they sell like 100 in a pack for a buck or something crazy.
Oh God.
Those ones are really good. The RSVP ones, those ones are really good. What I recommend for journaling and for any planning, I know this might trigger some people. No gel pens.
Yeah,
gel pens. Leak. Gel pens bleed through pages. Probably not the Happy Planner pages because they are thicker, but dry time, everything. Even after they're dry, you close the page and you just move the book and it's like smeared and half your page is like black now and it just
terrible. Horror show.
Exactly. So my opinion is no gel pens, but they do have, Sharpie came out with a new pen.
No, thank
and you. It is technically a marker, but it is a pen and it's like, it has no dry time at all. It does not bleed through the Happy Planner pages. There's no bleed through it. It is fantastic. It's more expensive, though. That's the thing. If you're talking about more expensive, then those are more expensive.
What's the millimeter on that thing? What's
idea. I think it's like 0.7, maybe.
Okay. 0.7 is okay. I don't do anything greater than a 0.7.
Yeah. I think it's 0.7, I believe. Those are not bad. Yeah, that's another thing for journaling specifically. 0.7 is probably the bar park, like 0.7 to probably 0.9. Okay. Whoa. They have other pens.
You're basically talking crayon at that point.
They do have pens that are like 1.4 and those are technically ballpoint pens.
Wow.
But they are just too thick for me, in my personal opinion. If you want to be able to write and make things neat, I recommend 0.7 size.
Yeah.
0.7. Ballpoint.
And I used to be able to get away.
Coat is good.
Whenever you're doing something like a college rule and you got that fine space, you can go with a 0.5 in there to make the best of it. You know, or if you're dealing with a lot of math and equations, so you're doing like super and subscript, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. 0.5
is great. But for journaling, 0.7 is like that sweet spot, really ideal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about this 0.9 business she's talking about. I'm thinking about calling the cops now that she's talking about this. But, you know, yeah.
You are just a hater because I made fun of your cap pens.
Well, I'm going to stand by my capped pens because they're fantastic and I recommend them for everyone. Now, I will also point out Uniball also makes some decent. Here's the thing. Uniball has I don't know the brand name of this. I know they make the 702s, the Signia 702s, which has fantastic grip, but they're gel. They feel so comfortable in the hand, but you cannot use it for journaling or especially any kind of contracting work or anything like that because they leak and they're just a pain. I remember back when I was doing the union work back in the day and we were, you know, going over TAs and things of that nature and just checking off things or whatever and shuffling paper around, you had this very comfortable, wonderful pen, but it was ruining everything. And it was just like
disaster.
Yes, it's a shame for it to be that comfortable and such a wonderful pen, but man, it's just terrible.
So my recommendation for gel pens personally, like specifically gel pens, is only use them when they're not going to be in contact with another sheet of paper. Then it's fine. Like if you, and also to be honest, anyone that's left-handed, because when you're left-handed, you're going to constantly wipe over when you're writing, because you're writing from left to right and you're literally, your whole hand is going to smear over the pen, the ink constantly. So if you're going to journal, you're going to close the book. And no matter if you leave your open page, I feel like it never dries. And then you're constantly going to be smearing it as you're writing. With right-handed, we're not smearing it. With gel pen, it just, gel pens are made for coloring, my opinion. You give them to your children to color in their book. That's about it. I remember having gel pens as a kid that had sparkles in them, like glitter.
I'm going to find the name of this other Uniball type pen. It's not a gel pen, but it writes really well. Like it flows really well. But again, I would not recommend it for serious journaling just because of dry time with this one. It's not so aggressive as a gel pen, where it's just like no matter what you do, this damn thing is never going to dry and you're just screwed if you ever close it. You know what I mean? But this, I can't, I'm looking for the box in my file cabinet because I know I bought a brand new pack of the black one. I keep black and blue as the primaries. And then I have one pack of color that I keep with me as well for the other colors. But I also have a small ruler. I bought the Staples sells this small ruler pack that comes with like a protractor, a straight ruler, and a few, you know, angled ruler, all of that stuff for like 90 something cents. So I keep I keep that with me. So when I'm actually, you know, drawing in my book to better organize it, because when it's just a notebook, it doesn't come categorized. You got to create your own categories and everything in there. Mm-hmm. So
makes sense.
That's why I have that. And having a pen that flows really well to actually draw a quick line that'll dry in reasonable time. And that's why I wanted to highlight this pen, but I can't find a box where I can give you the name, but I'll look for it online and leave a link in the show notes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for part one. Stay tuned for part two, where Bumblebee and I continue the conversation. I apologize for the abrupt end. However, the show was becoming incredibly long, and I feel like to better serve you all, it would be best to cut it as best I can into two parts. So this is part one. You will be offered part two a little bit later on the schedule. Thank you once again. Take it easy.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.